This is the Missing People Podcast, and I'm Steve Braunham. Thanks for stopping by. In this program, my co-host Kelly Jolkowski of Project Jason talked with Tammy Novinsky, mother of Ashley Martinez, who at the tender age of 15 may have run away with a 32-year-old former felon. On that fateful day, July 6, 2004, Tammy left Ashley and her brother at a neighborhood pool. When Tammy returned later to pick them up, Ashley was gone. Subsequently, Tammy learned from Ashley's friends that she had been approached by Christopher Hart and apparently befriended. On July 6, 2004, both Ashley and Christopher Hart went missing. Christopher Hart was arrested in September of that year in Olympia, Washington, and was subsequently returned to Missouri, where he remains in custody today. Ashley's family has neither seen nor heard from her since that day in July of 2004. Please listen as Tammy speaks with my co-host, president and founder of Project Jason, Kelly Jolkowski.
Tammy, thank you for joining us today on the Missing People podcast. We appreciate that. Your daughter, Ashley, has been missing for approximately 2.5 years. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And from St. Joseph, Missouri, Ashley Martinez?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us about the events of that day? What happened?
Well, we had gotten up, and it was kind of an ordinary day. Her and her younger brother were arguing, and that's pretty typical and nothing out of the ordinary. Actually, if they wouldn't have argued, I probably would have thought something was strange.
I understand that.
So pretty much, they had planned on going to our local public pool, which we, like I said, it was, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. And when I took her that day and dropped her and her younger brother off, when I returned later that day, he was there and she was missing. And that was the last time I'd seen her.
So at that point, what did you think and what did you do?
Well, I at first thought, you know, maybe she went off with friends, and you try not to fear the worst. Never in my mind did I dream it would, you know, come to this. By no means. I just maybe thought, hope that maybe she had walked away with a friend or something and was going to call, you know, not that I would approve of that, but that would have been a lot better than this situation. Pretty much after, you know, I'd check with all of her friends as the night, you know, progressed, and no phone call, and nobody seemed to had seen her, and then the panic kind of sets in, and I made a missing person report. And
so that was that evening, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and that was back on July 6, 2004, and how old was she at that time?
She was 15.
Okay. So what happened after you made the police report? Was that early in the evening?
It was kind of later in the evening, because I was hoping that she would call, but pretty much when I didn't hear from her, then I'd made the report, and we didn't get much sleep that night, and I mean, it was just
not.
I think the nightmare started, and it hasn't stopped.
So when you woke up from what I'm sure was a very restless sleep, what transpired the next day?
Well, I continued searching with her friends and anybody I can think of, trying to get some answers. And I can honestly say that's, you know, it seemed like at that moment from that night on, the panic just sets in and you're going in circles trying to think if you've overlooked something or trying to do everything you can. I'd made some flyers, hung some pictures, just hoping, you know, somebody might have seen her. We'd question, you know, the people at the pool, and I kind of spent that week probably at least hanging around the pool hoping she'd show up or somebody maybe had seen her, you know, would have said something or seen something that went on that day.
Was law enforcement at that time also doing an investigation?
They took down the missing report, but not really at that time, no.
Okay. Do you know why?
I know they were on the watch for her, but they hadn't really, I think, at that stage, just assumed that maybe she was at a friend's or something and just being a defiant teenager and not calling. I don't think they realized how serious it was.
Sure. And from what you've learned in all this, isn't one of those things about time frames and reacting quickly?
Yes. Yes, I have. I've learned that very, very much. It's kind of one of them you go back in that day and wish you could, you know, redo and maybe, you know, you'd have done things different.
If you knew what you knew now, what would you have done differently in that first 24 hours?
I wouldn't have let her go to the pool.
Well, definitely, definitely.
I thought about that over and over for the past 2.5 years. But I honestly would have, I think the different thing I would have done is try to, you know, like you said, you act, you know, take it more serious, you know, immediately and, you know, not just hope, you know, think the worst and hope for the best.
Sure. Now, how long was it before you found out what was really going on, and how did you find out?
I would say it was probably within about 2 to 3 days we had found out what was going on. Her friend started kind of coming forward and opening up and had mentioned that she had talked about leaving the state with Christopher Hart. He had promised to take her to California and on an adventure. And I know in her mind, between the teenage mind and the bipolar that Ashley suffered from, she took it as an adventure without thinking of consequences. But that's
We know is that she went with Christopher Hart, who at that time was age 32 and a convicted felon. What else do we know about him and his activities?
Well, we know that her friends and his cousin, he's got a family member that it's claimed she'd seen him that day. And according to law enforcement, we really don't have any proof that she left with him due to the fact that the car that he picked her up in that day was stolen, and we can't seem to find the car, so we don't have any evidence to prove that she was actually with Christopher Hart. We're pretty much making a jump that she was due to the fact that they both became missing the same day. The information that you know, a family member on his side had came forward with, at least three of her friends had claimed that she had told them, you know, told them that. And so we've definitely got enough belief to believe that she had left with him.
And why is that so scary, assuming that is indeed what happened, which, you know, sounds as if it did?
Well, I know that he has a background of felony assault charges, not to mention that in my own investigation I have done, I seem to get from several family members that he is violent. I don't know how they're pretty much talking about, you know, how they fear him.
What happened next with him? Wasn't he found in Washington State perhaps 2 months later?
He was picked up on July 17th of 2004 in Olympia, Washington. He had committed purse snatching, and when Olympia Police Department arrested him, he gave a false name of his deceased cousin. So when they released him, he never showed up for court, and he was due to show up for court. So since he never had showed up, they picked him up again on September 5th. of 2004, also in Olympia, Washington, standing on a homeless street corner. but Ashley wasn't with him, and that was on September 5th. During that time, I was down here in Missouri because when Christopher Hart had left, he was on probation, had a probation violation that would have sent him back to prison for 12 years on his original charge. And he knew if he went back up in front of the judge, more than likely he was going to do some prison time. So that is part of the reason that he wanted to leave, I'm sure. He was actually on electronic confinement the day that he became missing, the same day as my daughter.
So were they not able to track him through the electronic confinement? I don't know a lot about those.
I'm not sure. Technically, they should have. I'm not sure what happened there to why he wasn't. I mean, he cut off the ankle bracelet, so any tracking they had, he had lost contact with.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not sure why. I pretty much had to get a hold of the Attorney General here in the state of Missouri to make him aware that we needed him extradited back to Missouri on that probation violation charge.
And is that what happened then?
Yes. He finally, well, when they arrested him in Olympia on September 5th of 2004, Missouri had picked up that he was using that alias name.
Mm-hmm.
So they notified Olympia, Washington regarding that. And instead of even though he did his went to court for that purse snatching charge, they still held on to him so they could extradite him back to Missouri. During that time when he was in jail up in Olympia, he showed bizarre behavior, so they wound up sending him to a mental institution to be evaluated. He finally got extradited back to Missouri on April 12, 2005.
So we're talking almost a year later.
Yes.
And what did he say to anyone in authority about Ashley?
Since he has been held, which to my knowledge he's currently still being held, he has said nothing to no one. Our local law enforcement, the detective on the case, Sergeant Jill Voltner, had went up and was going to interview him. She walked in. He refused to see her, and she turned around and left.
He's refusing to talk, in other words?
Yes.
And no one can force that information from him? Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm sure that's so frustrating for you.
It is very. All I hear is that, you know, he has the right not to talk. He has, right now, all the rights, it seems like, sometimes.
Do you feel that the key to Ashley's disappearance lies with him?
Yes, I do.
I wish there would be a different ending to that part of the story. So let's talk about Ashley. How would you describe Ashley? What was life like at home when Ashley was with you?
Well, with her bipolar, she was a very moody child. I had tried doing counseling. She had seen counselors and just trying to keep her on the right path. Prior to the age of 12, you couldn't ask for a better child. She was just wonderful. She was a good kid. She even, you know, made it as patrol. She was going to help kids walk across the street, and grades were wonderful. I mean, she was just a really wonderful kid.
And I know that you two had a lot of special times and special things that you did together.
Yes, we spent time, we used to watch, because there was always my husband and then her two brothers. So a lot of times, you know, boys aren't into Lifetime movies or love stories. So she was always the one that would sit and watch them with me. We watched Titanic, was one of our favorites. I think we both loved that, or any Lifetime movie, or we'd read books. Seems like we pretty much had the same interest. I mean, we'd go shopping. And
she also liked animals a great deal, if I'm not mistaken, and wanted to be a model.
Yes. there was even a time where Ramada, in our local town, Ramada Inn Hotel, had had a modeling agency here, and I took her out, and that was something she wanted to do, and it, you know, it made her feel good, and took her out there, and they gave numbers of where, if she still choose in the future to do that sort of career, we know how she could do that, and it was really exciting. It was very exciting. She got her picture taken, and she just absolutely loved it.
What do you miss most about your relationship and your time together?
I miss talking with her, laughing with her. I miss her sense of humor. She can always walk in a room and I don't know, she just lights you up. She really does. You could be having a bad day and just some of the stuff that she would say, you just have to look at her and think, where did she come up with that? It's just amazing.
What role do you think that her bipolar disorder played in everything from start to finish with what the friends told you about her having some sort of relationship with Christopher Hart and then her disappearance?
I think a lot of times when they're on a bipolar, they've got two different, they can go into a bipolar low where they're really, really depressed, or they can go into a bipolar high where they're adventurous and they do things that most people would never even think of doing, is where I think it played a role. I think it played a role in the fact that she looked at it as an adventure, and, you know, being young and teenage mind, it makes you naive already. And then if you got bipolar on top of it, you just react and think later. And I feel that that was the situation with Ashley.
Sure. Some of the people listening may not be familiar with what bipolar is. So, you know, just to kind of explain what it is and how that played a part in, like I said, in the chain of events, is why I wanted to touch on that.
Yes, it affects you more than what you think. I even had went to a bipolar class because of that.
Tammy, what have you learned about bipolar disorder that may help shed light for you now on what happened or things that happened in the past? Some of our listeners may not really know much of anything at all about what bipolar disorder is.
I definitely know that it's a mood swing disorder, and that it can take, like, you could go into, like, you know, where you have your highs and your lows. You can go into a depression that'll last for like 2 weeks and then go into a bipolar, what they consider high, that lasts about 2 weeks. A lot of times with the children, especially younger children that have it, they don't realize the importance of the medication to stabilize these moods. There was, you know, different times, not always, but sometimes where, you know, getting Ashley to take her medication was a task, because she didn't, you know, like the way it made her feel, and you just don't realize how bad, you know, that it's needed, and especially, you know, to a child.
So do you know what would happen if she was on a road trip with Christopher Hart and she did not have her medication? How would that affect her general behavior? Do you know?
Well, I have heard, it's not confirmed, but I have heard that Christopher Hart has bipolar 2. So if you've got two people that are on the road and no medication, no money, and if you've got them, you know, both in a depressed, angry mood, it can be quite a travel.
Is that something that's really affected you in as far as thinking about what may have happened, is thinking about the knowledge of both of them having the disorder?
Yes. Between his history of felony assaults, and then I know sometimes with Ashley, you know, with if she don't, you know, she's not on medication and, you know, she gets into a down mode, it can also make him irritable and angry. a little more on edge than most people. She's never really, you know, hit anybody or did anything violent, but she's never, you know, been off of her medication for any period of time either.
Do you have some mother's intuition or feeling about where Ashley is now?
Yes, I do.
If you're comfortable sharing that, and if you're not, we'll certainly move on.
This concludes part one of Kelly's conversation with Tammy Novinsky, mother of missing Ashley Martinez. You are listening to the Missing People Podcast, copyright 2007. All rights reserved and held jointly by Missing People Podcast and Project Jason. Original music by Ariana Kima. For more information on Project Jason or any of the missing people we have programs for, please go to www.missingpeoplepodcast.com. Thank you. For my co-host, Kelly Jolkowski of Project Jason, this is Steve Branham with Missing People Podcast.